Here's the hook for today. What if I told you a company burned just $8 million in primary capital, hit a $1 billion exit in under 3 years, and the entire playbook came down to one single ratio? That's not a pitch. That's what actually happened with Grunes. And today we're breaking down exactly how they did it, what it means for your business, and a brand new product white space that one sharp operator flagged as a potential $500 million to $1 billion acquisition target. Let's get into it. All right, section one, the LTV to CAC ratio. And I know, you've heard this before, but I promise you, the way Chad Kirby broke this down on My First Million is not the way you've been thinking about it. Grunes reached a $1 billion-plus acquisition in 32 months. Month one revenue was around $30,000. By month two, they were at $230,000. That kind of ramp is not an accident. It's the result of treating one number as a hard binary gate before deploying a single dollar of aggressive paid acquisition. LTV to CAC had to be at least 3x. Not a goal, not a target, a gate. You don't open the paid spend floodgates until you clear it. Period. But here's where most founders are getting this wrong, and it's costing them. The LTV calculation Kirby uses is deliberately more rigorous than what most of us are running. He measures it over 36 months, not lifetime, not 12 months, and he's using fully burdened gross profit. That means before you count a single marketing dollar, you've already stripped out product cost of goods, discounts, returns, fulfillment, shipping, and merchant processing fees. All of it. What's left is the real number. Here's why that matters so much. If you're running a lighter LTV calculation, say just revenue minus basic COGS, you might think you're at a 4x ratio, when the real fully burdened number is sitting at 2.1x. And if that's the case, every dollar you pour into paid acquisition is accelerating losses, not growth. Kirby made this explicit. Below 3x on the fully burdened basis, more spend means more bleeding. He also noted that even the top DTC brands from the COVID era, brands that were hitting 4x and 5x ratios at peak, have since compressed down to roughly 2.5 to 3x. The floor has tightened. The margin for sloppy math is gone. So here's your action item from this section. Before your next paid acquisition push, go reconstruct your LTV. Strip out every fulfillment cost, every processing fee, every discount. Run it on a 36-month gross profit basis. Divide that by your all-in cost to acquire a customer. If it's below 3x, stop scaling spend and fix the cohort economics first. Once you clear 3x, per Kirby's framework, you deploy capital as fast as the ratio allows. That's the game. All right, section two. Let's talk about three competitive patterns worth stealing right now. First one, the Grunes funnel architecture. This is directly transferable to any consumer fintech product. Credit building, cash flow management, earned wage access, you name it. Here's how it works. Grunes runs hundreds of ad angles cycling in and out every month. A team of 4 to 6 creative strategists, 4 to 5 ad account managers. But the key isn't the volume. It's what happens downstream. Each ad angle, gut health, GLP-1 companion messaging, healthcare professional targeting, limited time drops, each one routes to a dedicated landing page that matches the exact message from that ad. Building on that, a pop-up on each page captures what the visitor actually cares about, and that data segments every downstream email and SMS sequence. The whole landing page infrastructure runs on a tool called Replo. That's Replo.app, a Shopify plugin where a new angle-specific page takes about 1 day to build using a template swap approach. Kirby built the originals himself. No agency, minimal cost. More importantly, the retention team managing all those email, SMS, and post-purchase flows is approximately 3 people. 3 people supporting the volume it takes to hit those revenue numbers. If you're building a consumer fintech product, this architecture is your blueprint. Second pattern, and this is the one that got me fired up. Kirby flagged a fintech concept he chose not to pursue, but assessed as a $500 million to $1 billion acquisition target within approximately 2 years if executed correctly. The concept is a programmable income distribution middleware, a financial layer that intercepts your direct deposit before it ever hits your checking account and automatically routes portions to predefined destinations, rent, car payment, investment account, bills, and then a separate discretionary account representing only what you actually intend to spend. Here's what makes this a genuine white space.
Tools like Monarch Money and the now-defunct Mint are retrospective reporting dashboards. They describe your spending after it's already happened. They take no action. Simple tried envelope-based budgeting visualization but kept everything inside one account. Mercury and modern neobanks offer more programmability than legacy banks but haven't closed this gap. What Kirby describes is the profit-first methodology, pre-allocating income into discrete purpose buckets, but automatic at the direct deposit intercept layer without requiring willpower or manual account sweeps. And the enabling technology exists today. The most capital-efficient path to building this is likely a build-on-top-of Mercury approach, avoiding a bank charter entirely. The SMB application adds a B2B layer with meaningfully higher LTV than the consumer version, automatically enforcing tax reserves, operating expense pre-allocation, profit first. That's a sticky, high-value product. Third pattern, format innovation as a competitive moat. Kirby's core thesis is that new formats win. He points to Dr. Squatch, acquired by Unilever for roughly $1.5 billion as the canonical example. Bar soap, a commodity, but repositioned through format, clean ingredients, brand personality, and pop culture partnerships into a lifestyle identity purchase. Grüns did the same thing in supplements. The entire industry assumed one gummy per serving. Grüns changed it to 8 gummies in an individual daily pouch. Competitors had structurally avoided that format. Grüns owned it. In fintech, the analog is product delivery format. The founders who are winning aren't building better mobile banking apps. They're rethinking the delivery mechanism. Embedded finance at the point of commerce, earned wage access at the payroll layer, programmable routing at the direct deposit intercept. The format is the moat. All right, section 3, the macro picture. And there's a real risk signal here you need to hear. First, a quick regulatory note if you're approaching acquisition conversations. Deals above $133,900,000 trigger mandatory HSR Act notification to the DOJ and FTC. That review can take time, and it's not a formality. The AppLovin parallel is instructive. A $1.2 to $2 billion sale to a Chinese buyer was delayed 9 to 12 months in regulatory review. During that window, the company doubled its revenue, renegotiated to a minority investment, and ultimately reached roughly $100 billion in valuation. The regulatory timeline is a strategic variable. Factor it in early.
Now, the macro risk signal. Darius Dale, the founder and CEO of 42 Macro, flagged that current sudden stop risk is at its highest divergence from market pricing since January 2020. That's pre-COVID levels. The primary catalyst he's watching is a potential breakdown in the U.S.-Iran ceasefire announced in early April, and specifically the risk of a Strait of Hormuz closure. Dale's framework currently reads risk on. Capital windows for Series A, B, and C are open, but he frames that explicitly as conditional on the ceasefire holding. If you have cross-border payment exposure or credit products sensitive to consumer liquidity, stress test your Q3 2026 transaction volume and credit facility assumptions against a disruption scenario now. Don't wait. On the other side, Dale's deflationary anchors, AI-driven productivity gains, a softening labor market, and cooling shelter costs support a lower rate environment in the base case. That's good for BNPL and lending fintech unit economics. And when Dale's capital rotation theme reactivates, it favors international equities, emerging market assets, and small caps. If you're building SMB-focused embedded finance, international remittance infrastructure, or emerging market payment rails, you are aligned with the macro rotation, not fighting it. That's a real tailwind. All right, quick win before you close out today. Here's what I want you to do before end of business. Pull your last 3 months of customer cohort data and reconstruct your LTV using the fully burdened method. Strip out COGS, discounts, returns, fulfillment, shipping, and processing fees. Run that number against your all-in CAC. If you clear 3x, you have a green light to scale paid spend. If you don't, you now know exactly what problem to fix before you spend another dollar on acquisition. That single calculation could save you from burning through capital on a leaky bucket, or give you the confidence to step on the gas. That's your solopreneur intelligence briefing for today. Thanks for spending the time with me. This stuff is too important to leave on a podcast feed without actually using it. We'll be back tomorrow with more tools, more frameworks, and more ways to build smarter. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow.